You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Time again. What time is it? It's time for chaos. I was thinking about this afternoon. This might be the most varied cast in terms of our respective locations. When we started, it was seven guys that all lived in Queens. Five guys. One of them counted for three.
Five guys.
We all lived in Queens, and now there's people from all over. But this show, I think, has the most people all over the place. So I'm in Westchester, in Yorktown Heights, about 50 minutes from the city. Kay, you're in Brooklyn, right?
Yep.
And Nora and Ross are in LA, but the LA's broad. We're in LA. Burbank, Silver Lake.
Now I'm in Burbank.
Silver Lake.
I wasn't outside of your respective houses with binoculars last week. What about you, Rob? You're in Boulder or Denver?
I'm in Denver for some reason. I just ended up here. It just was wonderful. We were in New Orleans for a while, and then Denver happened.
Well, this leads me to my question of the day here, before we get into the nitty-gritty of Masks of Nyarlathotep, or Nyarlathotep, as some people have attempted to correct me and Chaosium. If you could live anywhere and do what you're doing right now, would you stay where you are, or would you be like, you know what, I wanna go someplace else? Rob, you chose Denver. Was it just like you picked cities out of a hat?
Yeah, it was a dartboard. I threw several darts at the same time. No, I mean, it's so boring, but it was just, you know, I'm an actor. LA was the place to be. It had been for me for 17 years or so. And then after NCIS New Orleans wrapped up, then it was sort of like, well, there's a pandemic. What's important to my family and stuff like that. And LA, I don't know if you guys know this, real estate and rent in general in Los Angeles is insane. It's not that much better in Denver, turns out, as I learned. But, you know, with the whole auditioning being remote because of the pandemic and precautions around that, it just seemed like Denver, we had already had friends here. This is so boring. I feel like I'm talking to my fucking, I feel like I'm explaining my parents when I made this decision.
I think this is exciting. I think people are interested. They really want to get to know you guys. But do you think, like, now that you're there, because I hear nothing but great things about Denver. Our one of the founders of the network, Skidmark, grew up in Denver, loves Denver. We're trying to get a show out there forever. Now that you're out there, are you like, you know what, I want to stay here? Or are you thinking, you know what, I'm going to go back to LA, maybe New York, maybe go back home to Massachusetts? Or what do you think? You think you're there for the long haul?
Definitely not Massachusetts, because everyone I know there is gone. So that would make no sense. I do miss it. Yeah. But no, I mean, I feel like, you know, with the whole acting thing, there's always the potential of having to move somewhere for a job. And so it just sort of made sense to find a home base area that we would enjoy, that would be good for all of the family and not just me. And so we're digging it here so far. We've been here for almost exactly a year. We love it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nora, you grew up near where I live now, right? We found this out before a show, and then you moved to LA. Do you think you like it out there enough that you're like, if I want to stay here forever?
I mean, the weather kind of just, you get spoiled by it.
Yeah.
I really like it out here, but I don't know. And it also makes sense for my work too, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows in the future?
Who knows where the winds are going to take Nora,
especially with these prices out here for housing. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly still a, a seller's market. The pandemic made it even worse. We want to move again eventually because we got this house right before the pandemic. We just got in and like 2 weeks later, the pandemic hit. We could probably sell the house now for way over what we bought it for, but then we never will buy a new house. So, but I would like to move, but I'm trying to decide, do I want to stay here in Westchester or maybe move like right to that edge of Connecticut? I don't know. Kate, I feel like you are legally obligated to stay in Brooklyn because you look like someone from Brooklyn.
Oh, no.
And I bet you smell like someone from Brooklyn, too, which is quite a lovely smell from what I hear.
I mean, yeah, we've been here for like 13 years. It's been a long time. Yeah. I moved down here because I got accepted to Pratt for grad school. And then I was like, I can't afford to pay these student loans if I'm an adjunct professor. So I dropped out and worked a bunch of jobs. And yeah.
Where'd you grow up? You grew up in New York, right?
Upstate New York, like Schenectady, Albany area.
Albany. Do you think you're going to stay in Brooklyn, stay in the New York area? You got family around here? Or you're like, you know what? I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Kansas.
I still have friends and family like upstate. I was thinking about, almost convinced Michael to move to Arizona, but heat.
Arizona.
Climate change.
Yeah,
also,
not great.
Politics. So like maybe I'll just stay in New York, although it's expensive. We're looking upstate, like in the Kingston area. That's where Michael's from. So
Yes, very.
I'm never going back to Albany. It's awful.
Yeah, well, they got a couple good breweries. Kingston's very nice. It's a little granola, but they got a cute downtown. Ross, you started. Remind me again, Chicago or Midwest?
I'm from the South. Like I grew
the
up
South.
In-
totally wrong.
Same thing.
Abu Dhabi, right? That's where you grew up.
That's right. I'm from the UAE. I know I am. Yeah, I grew up in like Virginia, North Carolina mostly. But,
okay.
So there is still a part of me that has that like nostalgic pull. And when I fantasize about where I might end up years from now, if like job was no impediment, I went to college out in the mountains of North Carolina. And that is one of the most beautiful places I've ever lived. So going back to like the Asheville area is really appealing to me.
Mm.
But I love LA and I love Chicago. I lived there for 10 years. I would go back to Chicago.
Yeah, I do like visiting Chicago.
Chicago's great.
Yeah. But now Asheville, do I need to check out Asheville? Is that where,
Asheville rules. But much like everywhere that we're describing, it's one of these places that you think that it's a beautiful place to live and so do hundreds of other people. So the housing prices are...
Yeah, Asheville, I heard, is on the come up.
Yeah. Asheville's beautiful. So maybe don't go to Asheville. Maybe move to beautiful Blowing Rock or Las Cruces or Boone or
Stop trying
Meat
to keep
Camp.
Asheville all to yourself, Ross. It's too late. The cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, I'm trying to drive you there so I can move to Abingdon, Virginia. Yeah.
It is interesting to think, you could just move at any moment and uproot your entire life. And the pandemic has made it where we don't really have to be where we are to do what we do. So let us know if you make it.
We're doing that right now. Look at what we're doing.
Right.
We're doing it. We're living it.
Playing games while people watch.
One day I'll be in the same room with you. Someday.
That would be nice.
Not if I can help it.
I finally get to like when you're in the same room with someone for the first time that you've been like speaking with over the internet and you finally see how tall everyone is. And sometimes you're wrong.
I met Josephine McAdam, who I play Blades in the Dark with also on this network. I met her in person for the first time a few weeks ago. And the size differential was tops. She's a little elf and I'm a very, very tall string bean. And I think both of us were like, whoa, as I like stooped over to say hello.
Well, that's funny because we've been hanging out now, me, Ross, and Nora for over a year, year and a half at this point, and we record these in advance, obviously, but we're coming to LA in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to meet you guys in person for the first time, and I don't know what I should do. I need a new wardrobe? Should I do a juice cleanse? I feel like I need to prepare for this.
Yeah, Troy, you better.
I better get the
old juice
cleanse.
I mean, it seems like the lesson is you have to put lifts in your shoes at the very least.
Right, I guess my height is going to be judged. Well,
yeah, man, unless you want me to hold your head at arm's length while you feebly try to punch me.
How dare you? You said it again. Asheville's mine, I tell you.
Yep.
Well, one of these days. It would be fun. You know, in my sort of crazy brain, I imagine this show just, as it grows, we start doing this show live at cons so that we have an excuse to meet up like twice a year and play in person in front of thousands.
Yeah.
We'll be at Gen Con.
Yes.
Gen Con, yeah. Rob, you were talking about maybe going to Gen Con, too.
I was talking about it, and then unfortunately my family has a trip planned. but I might still try to sneak out for the Thursday and come see everybody. And also, I'm going to be in L.A. a week after you are, Troy, which is horrible.
Gross.
But, so I want to hit up Ross and Nora for sure.
Yeah. You absolutely should, yeah. Build the bottom of the pyramid. Yeah, Kate, you're out. Good luck in Kingston. no, but this is good. We got a year to plan for a year and a half to plan till the next Gen Con. You watch. There's going to be a Time for Chaos Live. But right now, Time for Chaos is live. And we need to talk about last week because a lot of shit went down and you are in the thick of it. And I'm just going to throw you right back in. Obviously, you're on your way to the ruins. You're in the wilds of outside of Puno, near Lake Titicaca in the Andean Highlands, trying to get to these alleged ruins, following a man named Augustus Larkin, who, come to find out, might be a pretty shady dude. Definite addict, definitely has a weird tattoo on his chest, and may or may not be involved with either a death cult or fat-sucking vampires known to the area as Carisiri. His accomplice, his buddy, Luis de Mendoza, you're pretty sure is a Carisiri that attacked and killed a graduate student back at the university in Lima, and then mysteriously didn't show up to join this expedition. So he's still out there somewhere. Meanwhile, you're just keeping an eye on Larkin. You come across these alpaca farmers that were just attacked by Carisiri. The night before, one of your donkeys was attacked, presumably by a Carisiri. So they're around. Are they following you? Are they on your trail? Is it de Mendoza? What is going on? Well, you finally make it to the ruins. They exist. And you see a pyramid that's actually a lot smaller than you thought it would be. And you see two people with these gorged stomachs matching the descriptions of the people that attacked the alpaca farmers, a man and a woman, climb the steps of this pyramid and one by one look like they were vomiting into the top of the pyramid, into some crack at the top, and then coming back down, and then they walked out of sight down past a wall that you couldn't see over from your vantage point. At that point, you're like, we've had enough. We're confronting Larkin. What is going on here? When you met Jackson Elias back at Bar Cordano, and he said, bye, Larkin, bye to Mendoza, he told you the first thing. I think Augustus Larkin is leading us into danger. And so rather than go into this ruin site, you decide to confront him. And you pushed him a little too far so that something else within him, something perhaps using his body as a puppet, came out. His arms stretched out to the side. He became rigid. All of his ailments seemed to disappear. And a voice that was not his voice emanated out, just speaking paeans of ultimate destruction and how you will never survive and this world will never survive. And then a tear in reality formed and some sort of weird simian insect was trying to find its way out. And all of you just bah, 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 unloaded your gun, threw fire, machetes, killed Larkin. And that seemed to be the thing that stopped the tear in space-time from forming and this dimensional creature from coming out. Larkin then thanks you with his dying breath for ridding him of whatever it was that was controlling him. And then he dies. And so now you're left examining these ruins. You see some heads, some long, elongated heads that after a couple successful rolls, you realize also are from these Tiwanaku people, this strange tribe of people who no one really knows anything about, but it seems pretty clear that they built these ruins. And then years later, someone else came. Was it the conquistadors? And what did they do? And why were they built? You don't know. But rather than go through the front doors, you're like, you know what, let's just take a little peek over the wall here. There's all these silt drifts that you can just kind of climb up and look over to see if you can see what happened to that man and woman. And all you know is that they walked in the direction of a giant hole. A hole full of corpses. And as you're looking down at this hole of corpses, you hear a noise behind you. You turn, and you see the severed head of Larkin just floating there. He says something like, something villainy like, I will see you again. And then his head bursts into a swarm of flies that dissipates into the air. I think that's worthy of a sanity check. So let's go ahead and give me a sanity check, and then we'll
you
do
think
the,
so?
The weekly luck roll. I think a sanity check. If I saw a floating head burst into flies, I'd feel a little off. Ross, I'm pulling for you, man. I'm really pulling for you.
I got under my sanity.
You did it!
Fortune like, smiles on Von Villiers. It's something that's just spoken in his mind. He's probably still processing that. And a fly hit. The little fly pinata head is just not doing it for him.
Yeah, he's got other fish to fry. Rob, it sounded like a fail.
I failed. It's my first sanity fail.
Okay, give it up for first
Thanks,
sanity
guys.
Fail.
I mean, not in real life.
Kate, what about you?
I'm still holding it together with a 14. Wow. She's going to break at some point.
K-I-T, keep it together. Nora?
I just made it by 2 points.
All right, Rob, you're going to take only one. 1 point of sanity damage. That could have been a lot worse. So you're a little shook by this.
All right, so all I'm doing is adjusting my current sanity down by one.
Right, your full sanity stays one thing, but your current sanity, there should be a box for that. Once again, we're using Roll20 behind the scenes. Roll20 graciously hooked us up with all of the Cthulhu stuff, and the character sheet for Roll20 for Cthulhu is phenomenal. Even though I think you guys have to calculate fifth and half values. Other than that, it's great. So yeah, you take one sanity point of damage. How do you think that manifests to him when he sees this, whereas the others are able to keep it together?
Well, with just 1 point, you know, there's been a lot so far that's gone down, obviously, that he's sort of been like, I can handle this. I've seen a lot in the streets of the North Shore of Massachusetts. I think for a split second, he sees his full untarnished face floating in front of him for a moment. So even though it's like a horrifying, like, you know, floating, you know, Larkin head, I think for a second it just turns into Carter himself, and he just gives himself like a little wink, and then it's like,
oh god,
yeah, and then it's just gone.
That would crack you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's everybody do a luck roll to see if anybody recovers any luck points. Spoiler alert, you're going to want to have some luck on hand tonight. Another thing, while you're rolling those, something to think about, pushed rolls haven't really come up yet. But when you fail a roll, you can always try to roll it again. But there are contingencies. If you fail a roll and you say, I want to push the roll, you get to roll again. But you have to tell me, what are you doing differently? And that's really just a flavor thing, like what Rob did. You can't be like, well, I'm going to climb the stairs backwards instead of forwards. You know, it's got to be a little more flavorful. And the only real bad thing is if you then fail the pushed roll, something bad happens. So it's a little high risk, high reward. Just something to think about. And I'm pretty sure, Michael, you can let me know in the side chat we have here on Skype. I think you can't push combat rolls. There's a couple of rolls you can't push.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I would imagine you can't push sanity rolls. Like
yeah,
I believe
that combat and sanity, I think, are two. There might be three rolls you can't push. Just like there's certain things you can't use luck on. Like sanity rolls. Anybody improving their luck today?
Again, by 2 points. I rolled 69 over 67.
69 so, over 67. Okay, so...
So I get to roll a D10?
D10, yeah. Okay. Kate, how about you? 5 points, great. Kate, nothing. Rob?
Nope. Yeah, I got it. I mean, it doesn't really matter how much over I rolled, right? Like, the fact that I got a 92 doesn't mean jack.
No, unfortunately.
Okay. I got 8.
Eight, beautiful. And Ross, any luck?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Remind me, are we trying to roll over luck?
Yeah, this is the one.
In that
roll.
Case, I did it.
Okay, great. Then you get a D10.
So I keep spacing on that. Okay.
Yeah.
1d10?
Yeah, 1d10.
Nice. Guess who rolled a 10?
Did you get nice. The pain? Zero? There yeah. you go.
Oh, boy. That's... All right. One's on the come up, y'all.
Things are going on.
Everything's coming up.
Yeah. I was firing wildly in the air and no help to anybody last night. So maybe now it's my time to shine.
I do want to say I'm not superstitious, but we're all wearing black tonight. We're ready for someone to die.
I noticed.
Why would you say that, Kate?
Because I'm not superstitious and I don't really believe it, but I'm pretty sure someone might die tonight and we're all ready for it.
I didn't think I was ready for it. Anytime I've ever played most RPGs ever, it's always fizzled before my characters ever died, or I just wasn't there and everyone was pissed, so they killed me. Which seems fair. But so I've been terrified of this exact thing, Kate. But then today I had a thought about what my next character could be if that were to ever happen, and it made me feel so much more comforted. It was like. Aww. Like, aww. If for some reason you believe in an afterlife, great for you. I'm really, that's great. I can see now. It's like, oh, that provides a little bit of comfort.
Rob's going to come back as a butterfly with a crossbow.
You're coming to terms with your character's death. It's so beautiful.
And maybe my own. We'll see.
Yeah.
This is why these games are so profound and beautiful.
Yeah. You know? They really make you look inward.
You've reached acceptance. Yeah. But right now they're still alive, and hopefully they'll live for another couple episodes.
Guaranteed.
In the meantime, I'm going to take you to the map because I've now revealed everything that you can see now that you're perched up on that little silt deposit that allows you to look down. So you see the pyramid again, much smaller than you thought. You see that slit across the top that those people were vomiting into. You don't see the people around anywhere. So did they go into this pit of bodies? You don't know. And then there are these broken walls, like down to the south where other ruins appear to be. You know, there's a lot going on over there, but you tell me what you want to do.
Oh, yeah, the charnel pit.
I mean, we just saw a floating head explode into flies.
Yes.
It really makes you think.
Really?
So, yeah. Woody, what did you do next? Well,
luckily we can take our minds off that by looking at this horrific abattoir in the ground.
Right? Player me wants to, look into the pit, but I'm like, does Markle even want to do this anymore?
Right. Look, Carter made an argument last time to get out of there and got peer pressured into staying, partially because it would be more interesting. So,
yeah. We could look into the pit. Look into the pit, which does not... nothing can go right doing that. Or we could look into that crack where people have been vomiting into.
Which is gonna rock.
It could be a little more less right. Mm-hmm.
Vaughn will look into the
less
pit.
Less bad.
Can Vaughn spot hidden in the pit?
you're a little bit far away, but go ahead and roll spot hidden. I'm going to say from this distance, I'm going to need a hard success to really find any finer details, but let's see what you get. If you want to get closer, I'll give you a little more info.
Vaughn is, of course, rattled and disturbed.
Sure.
But he is, albeit briefly, he's seen, he's been around death and destruction, and it's horrible, but he has seen it. There's an eerie familiarity to what he's looking at, perhaps.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I think he actually might have done it. Let me see. A hard success, you say?
Yeah.
75 is my score, and... Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to spend 1 point of luck, and I will have made a hard success.
Wow, yeah. Fantastic. All right. So if you had walked right up to it and looked up close, I would have said a regular success. I mean, maybe giving you, obviously, I mean, you're going to get more if you get a harder extreme. But from that distance to try and make out details, I was going to set a baseline of hard, and you nailed it. So you look in there, and you see that it is full of human remains, and all of the bodies appear to be emaciated. Not surprising. You've seen this now a lot. From that vantage point, it appears that some have been here for a long time because they're just like skeletal with only strips of dried flesh here and there clinging to some of the bones. But near the top, the corpses appear to be fresher. They still have all their skin intact, albeit emaciated. Clothing that looks to be of a more recent time period, whereas the clothing on the skeletons is undeterminable from this distance. And you also, with a hard success, even from this distance, this vantage point of looking down, you can see the outline of a tunnel in the wall of the pit, like below some of the bodies, leading underground.
So, just so I see it, is the tunnel almost like in the bottom, like a well, or is it recessed into the sides of the pit like a door?
More like a door. Like, you can see it's just bodies, 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 bodies. You're assuming some sort of a bottom, but maybe not. And a hole leading underground.
And, I mean, do these bodies, this may be more than my success would give me, but do they appear to have circular wounds?
The fresher ones on the top, yes, you do see that, consistent with some of the other bodies you've seen. Again, flies buzzing like an abnormal amount, and that smell of rot and decay that you first smelled at Bar Cordano when you met Larkin, here it's just overpowering. There's just an awful, pervading sense of doom and darkness here, and death.
Well, it's only too nauseous. I wouldn't gaze into that any longer than you have to, but my eyes don't deceive me. There's some sort of door in the wall of that wretched pit.
Carter, you had cologne, right? Or something in your pockets?
I was actually just about to offer everyone just a little dab right under the lower nose area here. I've got lilac. I think lilac would probably do the best to counteract rotting meat.
Whatever masks this.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so please, everyone, just take a dab. Just a little dab will do you. Don't overdo it.
Very well, Mr. Tillinghast, thank you so much for this nosegay.
Do that and, like, wrap a handkerchief around my face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carter's just, like, rubbing it into his mustache, like, wax.
Oh, yeah, facial hair really takes to it nicely.
Yeah, Nora, you notice when Feyruz wraps a handkerchief around her face, it actually does help with the smell.
Now, Carter's like, so let me just get this straight, guys. Okay, so we want, instead of leaving and potentially guaranteeing our lives continuing, we want to go into the puke temple. And what do we want to do? We want to take these gold bits and put them back? And that's the idea here?
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
There was a time, Mr. Tillinghast, when I would have said that what you just said was so much madness. But that was before I saw what we all just saw.
Okay.
That was before space and time ripped apart in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Who's to say that thing won't follow us around for the rest of our lives?
They're clearly out in the mountains and out in the forests. I say we stand as good a chance out there as we do in here. And if we can make some sort of bloody difference in here, then...
Yeah, all right, that's
cool. I say we're all bound to do it.
And Mr. Tillinghast, you mentioned that you were interested in riches and gold. There should be plenty of that in spades below.
Well, I keep being reminded that the only gold that we have from this place, we have to put back. So taking any from this, it doesn't sound like the smartest idea in the world. But you know what? I got a soft spot for you guys. You seem like good people for the most part. And also, I'm afraid to go back by myself.
Think of all the drinks people would be buying you, man, for the rest of your life.
That's a great point. Also, Jackson, Mr. Elias, sir, let's not forget, this is great novel material here that we're working on. Just, the brave Carter Tillinghast leads his group of quivering cowards down
Now hang
into
on
the
there.
Temple.
Steady on there, Dillinghurst.
Yeah, I'm just shushing it up. It's fine.
Oh, you are onto something, Mr. Tillinghast. I don't, once again, I don't think it'll be fiction, but I do feel inspired, although I share your fears. Perhaps we should go in or climb over here and take a look at the grounds before we make any rash decisions.
Yep.
Yes, do it, I don't want to go into the body pit. Maybe the puke pit. Maybe.
Yes, well, when you put it like that, Fraulein Sauer, neither seems particularly appealing.
I will take corpses over puke.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe going in body world there is the sneakier move, because that seems to be the puke pit is that's an entryway, right? People are putting puke in there. The bodies feel like this is a trash. This is like the trash. This is the dumpster.
But why?
No one's going to expect us to go through the dumpster.
Why is there a door in the trash can? It's really weird.
Ventilation, standard stuff, probably.
Safety regulations, whatnot. Yeah. Makes sense.
It was said that and this is maybe Vaughn groping for it. Well, the gold, the spells worked in gold. They were in tunnels in that old Codex of Gaspar, weren't they? Aren't there supposed to be isn't there supposed to be a warren of tunnels around here?
That's yeah, familiar. Is this one in Gaspar Figueroa's note?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at that again and see. Now that you're here, maybe there's some more information that you can glean.
Right. There's a pyramid surrounded by a maze-like structure of underground tunnels. The walls of the tunnels are inlaid with intricate gold carvings. Mm-hmm.
The men pried out a large section of the gold, exhausting themselves in the attempt. These were the conquistadors. And then when they did this, a sickness befell them. In the morning, they looked gaunt and death-like. And then Figueroa's companions went after him, one of which was a man named Luis de Mendoza. Tried to devour him like a leech. Figueroa shot his friends and ran away, taking as much gold as he could.
Classic.
If the Tiwanaku people built this and it had any connection to a Nyara's tale of the trickster god Akeko trapping some evil thing down here, did the conquistadors come and, while trying to raid it, let some of that evil out?
Yes. You must. I remember from your book, Mr. Hughes, that some of these cults will make sort of protective sigils, circles, to provide protection for them when all the demonic forces they're supposedly summoning. But if something was to breach such a circle, then whatever you summon might find ingress to attack you. Perhaps this is just that sort of sigil.
Well, if you'd asked me that before, Mr. Villiers, I would have said these glyphs were just meaningless hieroglyphs that they would put there, that they weren't tied to any magics, because those type of things don't exist.
Yes.
But seeing what I've seen since the university, I'm more apt to believe your fears and concerns.
Everything I've said today is... certifies me to be a bedlamite, but that was before I heard him in my mind.
Now, Feyruz, you spent a lot of countless wasted hours book learning.
Wasted?
Well, did I? Oh, that part was out loud. I'm so sorry. That's a default for me. Do you recognize the layout of this? Do most of these places have body pits? Or would you have any knowledge of standard, civic engineering going on here?
That is an excellent question. Troy, would I be able to roll for such knowledge?
Absolutely, yeah. What do you think is your most relevant skill? Maybe archaeology, maybe something else you prefer?
Either cryptology, archaeology, or anthropology.
Yeah, I like archaeology, but if you could talk me into cryptology because it's more aligned with your character, if that's a better role for you.
It is a much better role for me if I can roll
let's
that.
Put it to work.
Let's see here. I rolled a 54 under 70, which is not a hard success, but it's still a success.
It is a success. Yeah, in terms of the charnel pit, that isn't something that is consistent with anything you've read. This seems to be a newer addition or a bastardization of the original intent of this place. What you do recognize is that a pyramid of this size most likely means that this part, these steps, were built as a marker, in a way, of the real important part of the pyramid, which would be completely underground.
Of course.
Yes, the thing that I thought was very peculiar when we first arrived was that it seemed a lot smaller, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And so I was thinking about it and thinking back to my studies. And there have been instances in history where everything entombed in this, in the pyramid, what you see above ground is only a tip of the iceberg, let's say. The rest of it is underneath.
Okay. All signs point to underground tunnels.
Especially given what was in that letter, yes.
I, for one, don't want to go clambering down the this pit of vomitus or this pit of corpses.
There could be another way.
If it is truly a labyrinthine necropolis down there, then perhaps there are other entry points throughout the temple complex.
Take it from somebody who may or may not have allowed himself into houses when I was much younger, mind you, that I probably wasn't supposed to be in, mostly because I didn't own it or live there. You don't want to go through the front door, okay? You always want to find an entry point where people are not going to be looking for you. For me, if I lived here, if this was my pad, I don't expect anyone to go through the body pile.
Very true. That is a good point. And if it's any comfort to anyone, I will just say that we know that these corpses are dead. We do not know if whatever's inside the vomit pit could be alive.
Mm-hmm. Could be living vomit.
Well, just proceed with caution. Let's go in the front door.
Very well.
Wait, the front door or the body pit? That feels like...
Well, the front door is the slabs where you saw those elongated
dents. Gotcha, okay, so we can't
climb
over this.
You can absolutely scoot over here because of all the sand, if you want. Jackson must have misunderstood you. He thought you wanted to go in the front door.
Shall we go in the... So it sounds like the group is leaning towards clambering down into this charnel pit and going in the door.
It's what the fans would want.
Well, also, what Jackson is saying is like we can walk around the grounds a little bit and then decide if you want to go into the charnel pit.
Yeah, it's good to get a lay of the land. Again, from experience, you want to case the... Did I say case? You want to check out the joint before you go any further into it.
So do you want to go through this front door, the doors that lead from all the way to the end of the path, or do you want to just scamper over the wall here? They both look... You're right near where they are. Really, it's just a flavor choice.
I say scamper, because it's a good word.
Yes.
It's like, ooh, ah, oof. Okay. Yeah. I think you should have use of all your pawns here on roll 20. Yeah, so you see the grounds here. I'll give you a little more information. You've got the stepped pyramid, and each step is like 5 feet high. So if you did want to climb up or anything, you'd have to like pull yourself up each step. There are these crumbling inner walls to the south, many of which have collapsed over time. No real indication of what they used to be. Because all that's left are just a few broken stones that you know is a wall, but you can't tell what the structures look like. Now, some of the walls are decorated with archways, so you think maybe they led into, they were small outbuildings, but really the thing that jumps out at you is on these archways are smaller versions of those elongated heads that you saw on the main entrance, and they're set on the archways and on the walls at regular intervals, and the wind that is sort of blowing through the valley blows through their open mouths, and it has this like unnerving whistling sound that you hear, and you heard it as you were approaching, this like ooh, and you just look at these heads and it's almost like they're whistling at you. The ground all within the walls here is uneven. Those same piles of silt that lets you just hop over the wall have created dunes throughout. Everybody give me either a spot hidden or an archaeology, whatever's better.
I got an extreme success with spot hidden.
Extreme.
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 Got a regular success.
I got a regular success as well.
Hey guys, guess what? Carter doesn't see shit. I'm shocked.
All right, so let's start with the extreme success. You're all going to see it, but the extreme success is going to give Vaughn a moment here. Basically, you're walking around and you see there are these like stone slabs covering something throughout the grounds. I can highlight them here on Roll 20. You see these stone slabs? They're just, yes. Some of them are right around the perimeter of the pyramid, and then one of them is kind of like right close to you where you are walking in. So I imagine if you're walking around the grounds kind of exploring, at a certain point, Carter isn't looking and almost falls into an open one to the north. But with your extreme success, Vaughn, you grab Carter before he falls into this open pit. And you see that it's just like a vertical shaft leading straight into the ground.
Steady there, old boy.
Whew. Man, sorry. It's the no depth perception with the one eye. Thank you.
Yes, I could see how that would provide trouble walking and playing squash.
We should be very careful not to wander off and stick together, yes?
Yes, 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 quite so. Perhaps this, if there is something underground, something like this, it seems to me, would be providing ventilation.
Carter takes a little, is there like a pebble around? Carter could just kind of, like, toss it into one of these holes, just listen.
You toss into the open hole, and yeah. It's the same shape as all these ones that are covered by stone slabs. So you think, okay, these must all be some sort of weird chimneys or something. You drop it in, and seconds later you hear ting, 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 ting.
A couple seconds. That's probably don't want to go down there on our own.
But it's not too deep if we are able to hear it.
I heard a ting, ting, for sure.
Yep. There is some security in a ting, ting.
Comforting.
Is that? I get that everything here is permeated in the presence and smell of decay. But is it maybe less profound? Does it feel like it's intensely wafting up from these shafts?
Yeah. If you smell down there,
roll a sniff.
Roll sniff.
Yeah, I'm rolling. I'm rolling a sniff check.
Extreme success on the sniff check. Yes. Yeah, right now you're smelling mostly lilacs, but obviously right. The charnel pit has a scent to it—the scent of death. The pyramid itself. There's just five steps leading up to the top there. Strong smell of death that is permeating the air. But if you smell in there, I mean, it's you smell decay. It's hard to say if it's worse or better because you imagine the ventilation down there isn't as good. So it's just rotten all around you.
Delicious.
And yeah, that's the biggest problem is without knowing what the ventilation situation is down there, it's probably pretty bad. Enough so that it could be like someone like Feyruz has already put their handkerchief over their mouth. That might be a smart idea going forward.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that Vaughn will maybe imitate that smart
let's
move.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Put some perfume
let's all imitate.
The handkerchief and
Jackson does the same.
I think that Margot's hears the whistling statues and probably walks towards one of those just to like look more at it, like try to understand, like, what does this mean? Why?
It's just staring at you. It's this like small, almost Easter Island like head, but a miniature version with an open mouth and just no eyes, and it's just staring at you.
Is there like anything about, because you said there were like more around and the wind seems to be blowing through them to make the noise. So if the wind blows harder, do they make more noise if it blows a certain direction? I don't know. Is there like anything here that I can know more about?
Is it in like a specific key?
Are they pitched differently?
Is like it a harmonic?
No, I think it's mainly what you can all of you discern is where this is like in a valley, this whole area, because you had to climb up and then come back down. It's super windy, so the wind is just whipping through, and it's if this whistling is just an added unnerving extra. But with everything else that's gone on and the floating head that you saw but moments ago, it's just another thing that makes this all unsettling. And then you think about these Tiwanaku people who there's nothing written about them. They left no written records. Like, what did this mean? What are they trying? They left these heads. Who are these heads? What are they protecting?
Yeah,
what are they signifying? Goes,
maybe at one point this was a fun sound for them, but now it's just weird.
Oh, they love this sound so much.
Like, ooh, fun whistling. Let's make our town cute.
Yeah.
It's fascinating architecture, isn't it? I mean, it could have been ceremonial. It could have been pure intimidation.
It could have
been numerous reasons. Yeah. Protective.
Yes.
Yeah. We should probably get in that body pit.
Is that truly your preferred method of entry, Mr. Tillinghast?
All I know is that we saw two real weird-looking bloated folk go up to the top of this thing and barf inside of it. Now, I would rather go in a place that they're not going, as far as we can tell. I don't know if anyone's really, you know, pumped to get into a body pit. I get it. I've been there.
And who's to say they're not coming back?
Exactly.
Vomit right on top of us.
Could be a conveyor belt of pukers happening here. Look at all these bodies. They're doing something out here.
At least we know that what's down there is definitely dead.
Yeah.
Yes. Very well. So be it.
Just don't have a Great War flashback on us or anything.
Don't worry at all, Mr. Dillinghast.
Sanity-wise, you seem to be in great shape. I have the utmost confidence.
I've seen everything that you see, Mr. Dillinghast. I assure you, I'm of completely sound mind.
All right. And just real quick, just want to double-check. This is obviously a formality. Are you going to try to kill any of us again?
What?
Who are you talking to? Me or the...
Oh, no, not the meta world of the Keeper, but the character who did try to kill one of us.
Well, I started to make like I was gonna.
Oh, but, that's right, during his mental slip.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I think... I assure you, just a slip. We all saw that thing. Heard that voice. I'm completely steady now, Mr. Tillinghast.
Okay.
I assure you.
Right. Okay. And the same question, obviously, to Troy. I know that's a no. He's going to keep us alive as long as possible. So let's do this.
Right. I'm rooting for you guys.
Get in the body pit.
Now, here's the good news. Because of this pit so full of bodies, you think that it'd actually be pretty easy to climb down because you have to just use the corpses as like a improvised ladder to get to this hole.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
Because it's hilarious.
There's not many times you can say that combination of words.
Mm-hmm. Requesting get in the body pit as merch.
The positive spin is the best. The good news about this pile of dead people.
I was looking on the bright side.
Okay. There is a silver lining to the body pit.
Okay. Who wants to go in first?
I think maybe if if Tillinghast was really, are you okay? He's like, and I'll prove to you, just if you don't want me watching your back, Mr. Tillinghast, I'm perfectly willing to go down first. I assure you all, I'm quite of sound mind. You can trust me. And I'll sling my rifle on my back and begin to crawl into the pit.
And we still have the torches that we made upon, like, when we thought we were going through the front.
Yes, we'll definitely have some of that oil and improvised torch.
It is dark down there, so you're going to want a torch, but right now you're going to want your two hands. Luckily, the light from above, which is fading with every passing moment, is providing you enough light to at least see where that hole is. So you think if you're able to maneuver, wade through these bodies and get down there, then you would, if you can find footing, light up a torch. So Vaughn climbs in and starts, you know, just moving past all these corpses, some that, as I mentioned, are quite fresh, but fresh as in like the last few weeks, maybe. Some maybe months ago, and then you start seeing skeletons that could be, you know, centuries old. Who knows? And who goes in after Vaughn?
Feyruz definitely is eager to get in there, but as she's climbing down that very much desecrating corpse, and she's like, oh, sorry, as she's stepping over, like, each body on the way down.
Yeah, Margot gets in, curses in German her whole way down. I don't know any German. I should know this.
I think Scheiße, from the internet.
Schnitzel.
Somebody send in a German curse word list for Kate. And then it's just Jackson and Carter standing up there, and Jackson's like, would you like to do the honor, Mr. Tillinghast?
Yeah, I'll go. I think it's better that I not be in the very back for my own personal reasons. So Carter starts making his way down. Do any of these bodies, are they still, like, clothed? Like, are there pants? Are they wearing pants?
Yeah, I mean, the ones towards the top, some of them still have clothes sticking to their emaciated frames.
Carter can't help himself. Every once in a while, gives a little pat on some dead pockets to see if there's any wallets.
Sort of pick a pocket.
Yeah, any credit cards that don't exist yet, anything like that.
As you go down, you do see that there's like, it looks like it must have been a woman. It's so hard to tell because the face is just stripped of flesh at this point. Has a diamond ring on her finger.
Oh yeah, Carter does a little how you do there. Takes it. Yep. Maybe the whole finger.
The whole finger comes with it. But then the ring's easy to take off. As you're all wading through this, each of you have this moment where you're just climbing and not knowing what's around you. And at a certain point, all of you just kind of turn and come face to face with just a corpse in a face of just absolute terror, but missing most of its skin. This whole experience of wading through corpses in that moment provokes another sanity roll.
Yeah, of course.
Ooh. Jeez. Right.
I feel like you're pushing it.
My D100, I dropped it.
Oh, I rolled a 12.
18.
Hell yeah.
18. All right, so did anybody fail?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. If you passed, you take one sanity loss. If you fail, you take 1d4.
Oh, my.
Oh, you take 4, card.
I mean, a bunch of bodies versus a floating head. That's cool.
You're already shook. Holding
that's
what the
finger.
Is.
Yeah.
This happened to Ross, because Ross was on edge and then just kept getting pushed, and then he turned the gun on you folks.
Yeah.
Now you saw this head and it looked like you. It was enough to crack you, and then maybe that's what happens again. You're climbing through and you look, and there's a face that looks just like you, but instead of it looking perfect, it's all stripped of its flesh, and it gives you that same little wink, and now you lose it. 4 sanity points.
Okay. Yep. Just a little pee comes out.
So everyone feels that.
Yeah, I got, and I'm wearing like khakis, so it's obvious.
I think with Feyruz, when she sees that face and that open mouth, she hears that weird whistle as though it's coming out of their mouth.
Yes.
And then just kind of snaps out of it.
Yeah, Kate, talk to me. One sanity point loss. What happens?
I think Margot came here for some inspiration for art. And she sees these faces, and it's starting to look like the coarse, like, wood carvings of, like, the abstract expressionists, and it's just, like, a little too much, and maybe she's maybe starting to not like abstract maybe she just wants to paint some pretty flowers or something if she makes it out of here. Yeah.
It's all haystacks from here on out.
It's just nothing but hay.
Maybe you just want to paint by numbers. I don't know.
Yeah.
Vaughn.
She's going to be Thomas Kincaid after all this.
Vaughn, you succeeded, but that still shook you. Where are you at? What's your mental space like?
He was attempting to draw strength from the eerie familiarity of the presence of death that he experienced at the front. And as much as it's like, been there, seen it, old boy, wretch as it is. And I think it's probably one of those things where, like, something happens that probably happened to him in a foxhole where he reaches out he's groping to keep his balance and lays his hand on a head to steady himself, and his hand just goes through.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and just the nauseous tactility of it, like, puts him right back in waist deep in mud and hearing explosions.
Yeah.
This is a great idea.
You guys all get down there, and I have moved you on the map. If you look to the right, you will find the five of you in a little pit. As you reached that hole and climbed into it, it started sloping downward, deeper and deeper underground. And you now find yourself below the site. We'll find out more right after this word from our sponsor.
Nace, do you remember last year when I did a couple streams where I constructed custom miniatures of our, like, iconic network characters from years past over on Hero Forge? Well, I am pumped to say that Hero Forge just sponsored the GCP. That's right! They're in the house, baby! They're Nace members themselves! And they're running an awesome spring sale this year for 1 week only, from Monday, May 19th to Monday, May 26th. Go over to HeroForge.com and you can get 10% off physical miniatures, even color printed ones, and up to 25% off STL files and digital miniatures. We used Hero Forge across the board for all of our iconic characters at last year's gauntlets at Gen Con, and this year will be no exception. Guys, it is spring, things start to bloom again, and GMs start getting ideas for new summer campaigns. I'm one of them, admittedly. Get your new character ready for summer by taking advantage of this 1 week only deal. GMs, this sale can also be used on Hero Forge's incredible double-sized color-printed miniatures. If you've seen these, they are highly detailed, super durable, and perfect for that big bad showdown that you've been looking forward to. Plant the seeds of your next great adventure with the Hero Forge Spring Sale. Get up to 10% off physical miniatures and up to 25% off digital miniatures from now through May 26th only. Don't hesitate. Head to HeroForge.com to let adventure bloom.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
The tunnels here are about 10 feet wide, but only like 4 feet high. Now, you see that it's not uniform. Like, it's not always 10 feet and it's not always 4 feet, but right ahead of you, leading to, let's call it for map purposes, to the west, is a tunnel that is only about 4 feet high that goes for about 10, 20 feet or so, and then turns to the north. And so it looks like the only way to get through there, to move forward, the only way that you see is through that tunnel, and the easiest way to move would be on all fours.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
I think, I mean, if I was first in the marching order, if I can, using the oil and materials that we scrounged, light up a torch.
Yeah, light up a torch.
And just be like, crawling. And begin to scoot down. And, of course, at this point, I want to see if there's any hieroglyphic gold or anything on the walls or any markings.
Of course. Who is... just tell me the marching order while I look something up real quick. So who's going to crawl in after Vaughn?
I will, because if we're keeping the same.
Yeah, let's just keep the same
order.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you look up and you do see that there is this sort of gold filament along the walls that matches exactly what you have in your possession that Jackson took from the university. And it is unbroken, though, and it just continues forward into the darkness to the extent of the light of your torch. And the walls underneath the gold filament are made of those same stone slabs that you saw above that were covering the holes leading presumably down to these tunnels as well.
I'll indicate that to the group. Let's just keep our eyes peeled for any chunk that could be missing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You start crawling, and feel free to move yourselves on the map if you want. If you can't control your characters, let me know. I can figure it out. But assuming you begin just crawling through, you find that the ground is a little uneven. There's a lot of rock and debris. So everybody give me a dex roll just to make sure that you're able to move without cutting your hands.
Oh, I just realized that the tunnel was off to the side there. I was like, where is it? Where are we?
Yeah, it's a new map to the right if you haven't noticed. I slid it over there, but there's only a tiny bit of it revealed.
I'm waiting to move my place in line.
No. So dex roll to see if you are able to push along without cutting your hands.
Woo, 36 under 55.
Boom. Gosh.
35 under 80.
I got an extreme success. I'm really rolling hot. Nice.
Oh, you heal a wound.
I failed.
You failed. All right. You take 2 points of hit point damage. You cut your hand open on like it almost feels like glass down there. And you start, you're like, you can feel that warm blood pooling in the palm of your right hand.
Guys, there's something wet down here. Oh, no, that's me. I've cut myself.
You guys are the smell is overpowering, but luckily with the handkerchief and the lilac under the nose, you don't have to roll a con check to see if you become nauseated. So you can thank Feyruz for that. So you continue going up the tunnel, and you see about 50 feet up a shaft that moves at an angle and then goes up. And you think, like, okay, wait a minute. Where we were, where the charnel pit was, outside was another one of those stone blocks. So that must be one of the chimneys that leads up. There's no light coming down because that chimney had a cover on it. The one that Carter almost fell into is to the north. So as long as there's light, hopefully some of that light will spill in, even though you have a torch. And in fact, if you look further up ahead, you do see a little shaft of light. And so it all makes sense. But nothing else is really jumping out to you. So do you guys continue forward?
Yeah, Carter's sort of mumbling out loud and be like, I just don't, why would they make hallways so tiny? Like, is everyone super short, or what is this? What is the point of this shaft?
Yeah, it does seem strange. Like, was it made this way, or did something happen to make it so uncomfortable?
So so obviously the walls have the gold inlay on them, but the tunnels themselves are, like, are they carved in a way where there's, like, you know, we're talking right angles here, or is it just, like, a cave? Is it, like, a natural kind of tunnel?
No, it looks like it was man-made. Okay. It also looks like something happened that makes everything a little uneven, all this debris on the floor. So maybe it's the passage of time, or maybe there was some cataclysmic event that changed this. Because, yeah, were people... Maybe the Tiwanakus were only 4 feet tall, and this was perfect for them. You wouldn't rule that out. And there are certain points as you're walking through that you actually could stand up for a second, take a breath, stretch your legs, and then you got to get back on all fours and keep moving. And sure enough, as you continue to the north, a couple things happen. One, you reach a wall and you see a shaft of light coming down. And so now you know where you are on the larger map. You're right underneath where that open space was that Carter almost fell into. So the pyramid, the greater part of the pyramid, must be to your left, to the west. However, when you reach that wall at the end, the path splits in two and goes to the east and to the west.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what do you do?
We know that if this was where you almost fell, and there's two directions here, that must mean that if we go in that direction to our left, that will lead us to the vomit pit somewhere. To the right. What was to the right? Not could too just sure.
Be, yeah, it could be a dead end. I mean, it might be good. Might be could good to be go right.
An exit.
Kind of clear that. And then...
You want to go right first, just to make sure we're not...
Yes. If we... Okay. If the conquistadors were the ones who pried that gold bit off the wall, then perhaps they didn't make it very far into the tunnels. It could very well be that it came from one of the outer limits.
I'm sure that's the case. That should just get us out of here and lickety-split.
Well, we can't rule anything out.
Right.
Yes,
Let's go right.
Let's go right and then double back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so Vaughn, you're in the lead. You go right, and all of you are watching. Just none of that gold is broken. It's all unbroken all the way. And man, if you could ever pry all of that off, you would be rich beyond your wildest dreams. But now you know the risks. You take a right, and you go maybe 15 feet or so, and the tunnel opens up into a small stone-lined chamber about 20 feet by 20 feet, and the ceiling is a little higher so that you could stand up. You see ahead of you with your torch filthy reed mats lying on the floor, and the rest of the room is piled high with a miscellaneous collection of coins, jewelry. You see watches in the light, ancient artifacts that look like they're from all different time periods, and you're out in the hallway just looking in. But you also see two people. A man and a woman.
It was the same people from the outside.
Not a man and a woman.
A man and a woman.
It's all connected, man.
Like motionless as corpses lying on the reed mats. And you're in the tunnel ahead of everybody by yourself.
Oh my god. In.
I'll reveal it on the map.
Oh god. So we're...
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Scoot over there. Be there.
And as soon as I see them, I maybe turn back to Virus with the, like... And signal that the two we saw are in the are in this room.
And I do the same thing that Nora did, only silently.
Some, and there's a very comical pantomime in the dark here.
I mean, are they asleep? What's, are their eyes closed? What do you see?
Should we kill them?
Yes.
I just sort of lift my pistol up and just shrug.
Got some of that oil. And if there's any more of that oil,
yes, yes,
say
yes.
Like, they're sleeping. I say, let's give them a more permanent rest than they're already experiencing.
It's the humane thing to do. Light somebody on fire while they're asleep. I think that's the best way to go about this.
Those dusty those mats are old. Do they look dry or are they kind of damp?
They look very dry.
Haha. Yes.
Light them up.
Are they, wait, hold on. I should ask this. Are they like distended? Are they strange looking? Are these just two campers?
Obviously you haven't been close up to these people before, but you have every reason to believe they were the two people you saw with huge bellies walking ahead of you down below in the valley floor where it made no sense to travel. And they're the two people that then vomited into the top of the pyramid and then moved down out of sight. They must have gone into the corpse pit as well and then came in here to sleep. Their stomach's completely flat now.
Yeah, let's should light them up.
So talk to me about who does what here.
I think it just automatically happens. I don't see what
Okay, what if we need to get them onto the mats?
They're on the mats. They're lying.
Sleeping. They're on the mats. Yeah, they're sleeping
they
on the mats.
They look like corpses the way they're laying. So but
splash them and then light them.
Maybe we don't need oil if it's that dry. Because that's the second step.
I don't take chances, though.
Yeah.
We also run the risk of, you know, usually, I would imagine, when you light somebody on fire, it's not a quiet, way to go. it's going to be a little noisy in here.
Well, then, if there's always our edged weapons.
Those aren't quiet either, unless we sneak up and try to cut their heads off or something.
Which doesn't do anything to them, right? We've learned that you can't, decapitating them does nothing.
But that could be a first step, and then immediately light them on fire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is more of a both and than more of an either or.
Guys are stone cold killers.
Or what about this?
Only We've because seen it's things, man.
Only because this could be super metal. What if we doused our blades in oil, light them on fire, and then fucking...
Yeah,
yes!
Yeah, Troy, now that we've come down the corpse pit, can we totally decapitify them with flaming machetes?
It's becoming like we more fun.
I really think we've settled on the decision here. It's flaming machetes.
Yeah. Sweet.
All right, so who's Kate and Margot and Carter have the blades. So Ross, do my characters Vaughn and Feyruz like helping them get them lit, and then you guys just with flaming machetes, yes. 1, 2, 3, and you just come down on their necks.
Precisely.
And their heads get pulled from their body, but you see their eyes open up and their bodies are like flailing and the heads are like screaming, ah, 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 and their mouths go from like normal looking human mouths to these awful looking leech mouths with the teeth all around the ring, and they're screaming wildly, screaming, ah, ah, it's horrifying. But eventually, they burn to a crisp.
Yes.
And they're gone.
Whew. Nice.
No sanity roll.
I was going to have you roll a sanity roll, but you've actually seen this recently. You know what I mean? You're a little bit desensitized to burnt alive, decapitated Kari series. But luckily, whatever process they went through, this ritual of vomiting into the crack and then coming down here to rest, they left themselves vulnerable to four murderous investigators with flaming machetes.
Any metal band that wants to use the title "Decapitated with Flaming Blades in the Necro Pit,"
trademarked by now. Yeah. Don't do it.
I hope of the thousands upon thousands of people that have played this game, no one else has used the flaming machete in this scene.
We use flaming machetes. Now that we're in the room, is there anything else of note in there?
It's all this treasure.
Do it.
There's a treasure. There's the love some, you don't even need to spot hidden. There's so much shit in here. I mean, there is riches beyond beyond all comprehension here. It's really just a matter of what you could actually take out if you wanted to. And Jackson is wide-eyed looking at everything. He's like, this. Look at this. This could make us... I mean... This could make us rich beyond our wildest dreams, but we can't take all of it. We could certainly take some.
We are here to put things back!
What if it makes another rip in the sky? Taking anything from here, it's not safe.
Sure, but hear me out. What if it's the opposite, and we take things, and it only makes life better for us if we live?
Has it been better since they took this gold slab?
No, but this is part of that. That's part of the walls. You know what I mean? That's a separate thing. Look at this. This is a cup. What's over here? We got a couple goblets, you know? Carter wants to grab whatever's the least jingly and put them in his pockets.
Okay, but I'm going to periodically be staring at your chest, and if I see one weird whole thing happen... Machete. Flaming machete.
Yeah, flaming machete. I'll own it. It's just a pile, right? It doesn't look like it's on a... It's not like Indiana Jones where it's like on a special pedestal and it's...
You take the one that's under a perfectly lit pedestal. I'll just take this one.
This one seems nice.
Look at this spotlit gem.
There is a lot of stuff here, and the artifacts range from contemporary to very old, like pre-Incan.
This is plunder, you see. All these people that they've been giving the suck to, they've been filling their little treasure house with all their loot. And if this place has been here for centuries, then no wonder we have Inca gold rubbing shoulders with ancient Tiwanaku chalices.
How did all of this treasure get here together if it's not all from the same time period? Is someone else hoarding it?
Perhaps this has been here throughout this time while these leech people have been hunting.
Adding to the hoard, yes. And that's why I don't feel bad taking some of it. I'm not going to take all of it, but these families that lost their loved ones, the bodies of those people in the pit, we don't know who they are. We could perhaps do some good with this.
We owe it to them to take their shit.
Right.
It's
clear. I will plunder, but only something modern.
Plunder? Why don't you plunder for science? Think about it that way.
It's up to you. You definitely don't have to plunder, but Jackson is like, I agree with Mr. Tillinghast, and he grabs as much as he can carry and fills his pockets. He's like, I do not think we should touch the gold lining on the wall, but there's no reason not to take a little bit here.
Vaughn wants to take something that's like purely aesthetic, like something little, like a little statue or something beautiful.
There is a little statuette that catches your eye. That is, it looks like a rotund human with the head of a monkey.
Yes.
I think. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was gonna say I think that maybe Margot thought she was holier than thou, like, oh, I can't believe you guys are doing this. And then as you're doing that, looks around, maybe sees a couple of things like, oh, but that is so pretty. Oh my goodness. And she maybe takes a couple of things.
You see Feyruz, very prim and proper, just straightens herself up, smooths her hair, takes a look around and goes, right, fuck it.
You grab some stuff. So, in game terms, if you did plunder, all of you take stuff that could be sold for up to 2,000
American dollars.
Oh, that's a lot of clams.
In 1921, that is a lot of clams. You think there's probably over $200,000 worth of stuff here, but it's just impossible for you to take more than what you took. So this may give you some extra means if and when you return to your homes.
Is it like, nice. Is the game like real life where you can spend money to gain sanity?
You know, if only.
I'm currently writing plunder worth $2,000.
$2,000 worth of plunder.
Oh, treasure.
Jackson takes some as well.
Wonderful little monkey man. Yes, I'll have that one.
You might just want to keep it and not take the 2,000. Put it on your desk. I think that's a nice memory of your time and
just all the good memories.
Right. Vaughn is a fellow of means, so I think it is more like a something for the collection.
Jackson is standing.
Nice on the coffee table.
Yes.
Jackson is standing at the edge of the chamber, looking back down the tunnel. He looks back at all of you and is like, "Well, it appears the only way to go is that way."
Well,
it appears so.
Well, to our deaths. Let's make it quick.
I will be happy knowing that I have died $2,000 richer.
Yeah, let's make sure we get out of here so we can spend this.
To our debts.
Yeah. All the more reason to return safely.
You start heading in that direction, I'm assuming the same party order, and luckily the ceiling seems to be a little bit higher in this, so you start out on all fours again, crawling back into the tunnel, but then it starts to lift up a ways, and you continue along about, 15 feet or so, and you see a turn. So it basically continues going to the west, but then it also turns to the south. And your torches show you that about 50 feet or so to the south, the wall ends, and then it turns again, also heading west. And then west just continues on.
Can I roll luck to see if I have big chunk of chalk in my inventory?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if that... I rolled under my luck. I rolled a 28, which is under, 60, I believe.
You reach into your breast pocket and you pull out a piece of chalk.
And I mark a big arrow at this crossroads on the wall to show which direction we came from.
Who would disturb my chamber?
Oh, no!
little arrow.
And I immediately
on the wall.
Turn to dust.
Which way would you like to head? Do you want to continue forward the path you were on or take this turn?
Is there a navigate we can do, because we're trying to go to where under the pyramid is,
right?
Unfortunately, if we're trying to just find the spot where the gold is missing, it could be anywhere along the walls. Yeah.
I would say we work our way from out to in. I would say we keep going along the edge here.
Okay,
Danny, do you have a points in navigate? I think navigate is a skill, isn't it?
I don't know if I'm pointing at, but I do have a compass.
Ah.
That's good.
All right. Would you say, Margot, 25?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have Navigate?
I don't think mine's higher than that. I think mine's lower.
Yeah, got a 10 in Navigate.
That's just the hell of it. Give me a roll there, Kate. And Navigate.
21 under 25.
You guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
Amazing. All right, so... That is
enough.
This
is why she's an artist. Spatial awareness. Mm-hmm. And rotate.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
All right, this is enough for you to know that you are right at this crossroads. Directly above you is where the pyramid would be. So you think that perhaps the tunnels, if they follow the shape of the pyramid, this is the outline of the northeast edge of the pyramid here. So it will continue for a while along this way, and then it'll probably take the shape of the southwest portion. So if you slide over and look at the pyramid on the other side of the map, you think that you're under it right now.
All right. I tell everyone my theory, and I hope everyone trusts me as an expert of knowing navigation, even though I'm an artist.
A navigation, like, hey guys, an archaeology expert.
Just like the pyramid outline could be that, so I bet this way goes away for a long time, but if we turn, it'll go in a zigzag pattern. I'm not sure which way would be best, but maybe we should split up, because it'll meet back
at some point. I don't think we should split up.
I was with you for a while there, Sour, and then
Yeah. I was even willing to believe that artists know where they're going. But at this point,
I'm sure you'd love to be all by yourself as an artist, yeah, rugged individual striking out on your journey to tame the sublime with your paintbrush and all that. But I'd prefer if we all stayed as one unit.
I feel like Margot, like, even though she's rolling well with all these sanity rolls, she's just been like so tense, like, oh my god, I'm about to die at any moment for so long, that she's like, fuck it. Let's just find this metal, this gold piece that's missing, and we can do it faster if we split up. And yeah, right.
We could also die faster.
Yeah, maybe that so too, and then I'd have the sweet relief of death after seeing all of that.
She's getting
anyway,
into
play
dark
Call of
German
Cthulhu
mode.
By Chaosium.
Where dark your characters crave the sweet release of it.
So chances are that if we run into anybody else like we just did back there, we'd have a higher chance of getting out alive if we're together.
Just so. But your theory does provide some hope that if we are to follow either of these paths, if it is the outline of the pyramid, then we should circle around and arrive back at this point.
Let's do it. Let's keep going along.
Right.
Straight.
Yes.
Very well.
Onward.
All right, you keep pushing ahead. And you go for another 20 feet or so, and Vaughn, you're up front. Mm-hmm. You see the first thing that looks different in these tunnels than you've seen so far, besides the dirt and the debris. You see a pile of rags about 30 feet away from you as you're walking along here. Now, ceiling gets a little low, but you haven't had to get back on all fours. You're kind of moving along, and you see a pile of rags.
God's blood, there's a pile of rags over there.
Dry or wet?
There's a question. I will... It's just a pile of rags?
Human being would stack rags like this.
Yes. You haven't seen anything else lying around, so it does jump out at you. Everything else has just been debris, maybe the glass that Carter cut himself on, but this is the first time you're like... Well, that's
okay.
Odd.
I want to inspect them. Should I roll a spot hidden?
Or you can roll a spot hidden. You can move closer. It's up to you.
I'll extend my torch into the darkness and roll that sweet, sweet spot hidden.
Okay.
Oh, and wait. No, I just cleared it. 72 on a 75.
Okay. So you... push the torch ahead into the barely illuminated tunnel ahead of you, and you see that it isn't a pile of rags. In fact, it looks like a body that's wrapped in decayed wool and cotton. And with your successful spot hidden check, you see something like white and glistening just dart past the eye socket of the body.
Something worm like
just
I wish to be ready with that fire again. Some sort of mummy. And I mean, Vaughn might want to just, like, light this thing up.
Yeah.
So, Vaughn will continue to extend the torch toward those desiccated wrappings and light it on fire.
You start to move towards it with your torch, and right as you get up to it to douse it, the corpse starts to stand up and animate.
Mm.
Everybody give me a sanity roll.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No.
You don't want to fail this one.
There's so many.
No.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, 37.
We had a couple episodes. Wasn't a lot of sanity checks. Now you're in it.
I rolled an 84, and I have an 84.
Wait, you have an 84 sanity, and you
and
rolled,
rolled
an 84?
An 84.
That's a really high sin.
What does that mean? Did I?
You made it. If you hit it or under.
Okay.
Meets it, beats it.
That almost got me. That almost got me.
Ross.
Wouldn't it be great if I had an 84? Unfortunately, I just have a 27.
Oh,
and I
no.
rolled a 32.
Oh, come on.
I didn't know
you
it was so
low. You can't spend luck on sanity, huh?
No.
Oh, gross.
Kate, I'm hanging by a thread.
Oh, God. Why are you
insane since the bar?
Because I have something to prove, that's why.
Oh, God.
Rob, I saw a look of disgust.
Yeah, it was not. That's not the look I make when I'm happy. I failed.
Well, the good news is it's. I have to. I'm just going to check the book again because this seems brutal.
So this is why, by the way, that I hate Apples to Apples, the game. Because I feel like in my mind, there's a very set. Like, life works in a very particular way. And a floating head that evaporates into flies. For some reason, it seems more intense to me than your standard mummy.
Just your standard mummy. It's 0 points if you passed, 1d8 if you failed.
Oh, my God.
Thing came to life.
Mm-hmm.
Ross, I'm going to give you yours first. 4 points of sanity damage.
Okay.
All right. Five. Okay. Now, remember, five or more, you have to roll an intelligence check to see if you fully understand the brunt of this. That was four total. Five in one swoop is what you don't want.
Yep.
Six for Carter.
Yep, I saw it on your fucking face.
No. Okay. Also, Troy, if I lose 1/5 of my sanity over the course of a day, I go indefinitely insane according to the rules. My 27 sanity points, that means my fifth value is 5, and I have, with that 4, now lost 5 sanity on this day.
Couple of things are going to happen. First, wow, okay. Rob, I need an intelligence check, and this is a roll that you want to fail. If you fail this roll, you don't fully understand what's happening. You don't fully understand why this pile of rags just came to life and is lurching towards Vaughn's torch. If you pass it, you are smart enough to understand the true horror, and you will go temporarily insane.
Okay, so I want to roll...
You'll have a bout of madness, I should say.
Right. So I want to roll higher than my intelligence.
Yeah, you want to fail this.
The good thing that's an 80.
Oh, no.
That's so... All right, so hold on. Sorry. Let me back up. I just took 5 sanity?
Mm-hmm.
Or 6?
6. Yeah, you took 6 damage. But if you take 5 in one swoop, this is when you have to...
Okay, so let me just reduce that from the total sanity right now.
Yep,
now I'm rolling to see the intelligence situation. And I rolled an 88! Get out of here!
Nice.
Carter doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Okay, all right, so you're not temporarily insane.
Ooh.
However, poor Vaughn, I mean, we knew this was going to happen, has gone indefinitely insane. let's get into this. I should have looked this up beforehand. I have to look up the rules for indefinitely insane, but I think you basically, until you rest, you become, I think you're just, like, out.
Wait. Until I become insane until finding a place of safety and resting. There should be a place of safety in this, creepy underground cult necropolis, right?
Go to the pit full of dead bodies.
The way I think this is going to play out until I dig deeper into the rules here is that you go light this thing with a torch, and you're just, it's finally the last straw as you see this thing come to life and you see something swirling around in the skull that now faces you, and you just go fetal, at least for this combat.
Okay. Oh, okay. Great. Is there
going to be like Wicked Empire where we see like Ross has three characters rolled up?
I am the Dianist player in this network.
I also think it's hilarious how matter of fact Michael was in our chat. It was just so cold to be like, Ross has lost a fifth of his current sanity in a day. He should have indefinite sanity. Like, yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Michael.
No sugarcoating.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... all right, well, the good thing is, like, you're not taken out of the game. That's zero sanity.
Right.
But you're at least taken out of this combat, which could be worse, because this thing might start attacking you, and you're quivering.
I am the first thing... I'm in the front of the pack, so... Fetal, you say? Okay, so, you see the torch move towards this pile of rags, and then it lurch up and, like, reel back, and then the torch just plunk, falls on the ground. As you see him just kind of like huddle underlit by the flames in this on the against the wall and just muttering like it's impossible. you can't still be alive. I saw you die, so you cannot possibly be living. It doesn't work like that. It's not a cycle. Once it's dead, you're dead forever. It's all wrong. You know it's all wrong. And so that's happening.
Are you all right?
Everything's all right. Of course I'm all right. Don't you see? Because if you die, you just come back. It's not... There's no consequence. There's no consequence at all.
And is this thing still... Is it rising up and moving towards everyone?
Yeah, it's lurching towards you. Now, obviously, your pawns take up the whole width of this hallway on the map, but it is a 10-foot-wide hallway. So the good news is you can move past Vaughn to try and attack this thing, and you are in combat rounds. And Margo, you have the highest dex. What do you do as this thing is, like, lurching towards... Soundless. It doesn't make that sound. That was my flavor sound.
Hey,
it's
guys.
Just like...
Oh, hey, what's up? Sorry about your friend.
I did have my firearm drawn from before. Just
torch in one hand, firearm in the other.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then in that case, you will go first. Margo, you'll have a chance to think.
I'm going to kind of shield put myself in between this thing and Vaughn.
Like a hero.
And going to fire at it. It should be pretty close. Did this count as point blank?
Point blank range, yes. We talked about this, one of the rules things that Michael sent along today. Point blank range, if you're close enough, which you are, you get a bonus die. So you roll twice on the hundreds die, I kept saying the tens in earlier episodes, and take the better.
Okay.
Which would be the lower.
With handgun. So glad I got... All right, there we go. That first one was not so good. I am going to... I rolled 52 over 50, but I'm going to spend some luck points.
Okay, and you failed the other one as well?
To make that shot. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay. 52 over 50, so you spend 2 points to make that shot. It doesn't attempt to dodge. It doesn't dive for cover. It is just coming at you like most of these enemies that you've fought so far. So go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay. That's 4 points.
4 points of damage.
Now, can I empty all three?
You have to declare that beforehand, and you take a penalty die for each shot that you do.
I didn't declare it, so let's not.
The only reason is because you already took the shot, but like if on your next round you wanted to empty it, you have 2 bullets left in the chamber, you can roll twice and take the worst result. You take a penalty die. But you also, with point blank, get a bonus die, so they would just cancel each other out, and you would just make 2 rolls. Make sense?
Yeah.
Penalty die for unloading your cartridge. Bonus die because point blank range. Those would cancel each other out. So, Margo, you see Feyruz step up. in front of Vaughn and fire a shot, and just one of the limbs of this mummy basically just flies back and it keeps moving forward. What do you do, Margo?
Well, I was going to pick up the torch that was dropped and try to light it on fire, but if Firuz is shooting at it and trying to shoot point blank, I don't want to get into this tight, seemingly tight area now.
Remember, it's 10 feet wide. Don't think too much about the map if you want to squeeze by. It's just...
I would like to do that, but also still allow Firuz to be point blank if she still is, so that she can continue the next...
Yeah, she's not gonna... You can't move her, so all you would do is, like, slide in beside her.
Yeah, okay. And you I've have got the a torch, to too, so you could, like, use that to light yours.
Okay, so I want to... Well, I want to... Well, or I guess if we all have torches in our hand,
I'll just
use mine.
And there's one on the ground, too.
Yeah,
the one
I was going to pick up yours, but... Yeah, I'll pick up yours.
You could pick up Vaughn's if you want and swing up.
I think I want to have one hand with the machete, so I'm just going to continue with mine and try to light it and see if that... helps, because fire seems to be killing everything really well.
All right, give me a brawl roll as you try to, you slide in there, grab Vaughn's torch, and just kind of flail at this thing.
Where is my brawl again? Fighting. Okay, come on. 53 over 30. Do I want to spend, like... 23 luck right now. Do you think? Because like there could be a baddie, and then I might need 52 luck for something.
It's true.
Listen to your heart.
I think I'm gonna. I hope no one dies. I'm not going to take the luck for this one. It's too much for like all the way we still have to go.
Yeah, I respect your choice.
Yep.
Thank you.
I mean, look how much black there is around this map right now. You don't want to spend all that.
And look at how much black we're wearing.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're the one that said it. You said it, Kate.
Prophesizing.
Did I make the choice to kill someone by not spending luck? We'll see.
Only time will tell.
Oh, God.
Carter, you are up. This thing is very slow moving, so you get the chance to act.
Part of me is wondering if I should try to get that gold piece and hold it on it or something.
Jackson's standing right there behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try it. So Carter was like, Jackson, give me that gold thing.
All right, be careful, Mr. Tillyass.
Just hit him with it.
I always am.
Hands it to you.
Carter, so I like run up to it and try to like hit it with the gold thing.
Are you trying to... hit it to do damage, or you're just trying to place it on it?
Ideally, I'm hitting it. I'm forcefully touching it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me a brawl.
It was singeing skin, right, from before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's see. Carter's like, I don't understand what you are, but I don't like you.
that is the most Lovecraftian statement.
I rolled a 17 under 70.
17 under 70 is at least a hard, if not an extreme success.
It's not extreme, just hard.
Yeah. All right, so you hit this thing. You hit it like square in its left arm, and where its left arm meets its chest. And it does not scream out in pain, obviously. It hasn't made any sounds. You don't notice that it did anything extra, but give me a D6 worth of damage.
All right. Three.
Okay.
And then do I add anything for my whatever?
Your damage bonus.
Damage bonus.
Your DB.
I think is a one.
Might be higher.
Plus DB. Where is that sweet, sweet DB?
Should be in combat tab.
Oh, damage bonus is 1d4.
I keep forgetting to add that.
I don't know if you add that for bullets. I think it's just for brawling, right?
Gotcha,
it's
not like
you
that makes
push
sense.
Push the bullet at them.
I think it's just a 1d4, and I rolled a 2, so it's 5 total.
Five total. Okay. All right, so you come up and you lay into it with this thing. It doesn't seem to have the effect that you wanted. You do damage to it, but not unlike the bullet from Feyruz. It doesn't seem to be fazed by these attacks. And now it goes. Yep. And it is going to reach out for one of the three of you. I'm going to roll a d6 to determine. 1-2, Margo. 3-4, Feyruz. 5-6, Carter.
Feyruz.
You shot it, and it just reaches out to try and grab you. Now, what is your build? Do you have a build of 1 or a build of 0?
I have a build of 1, I believe.
I believe so, too. I think Kate Margo's is the only one with a build of 0.
Yes, I do have a build of 1.
This has a build of 0, so in order to grab you, it's actually going to take a penalty die where you have a build of 1. I almost wish I rolled Margo. I wouldn't have to do this, but it's going to try. It, like, reaches out with its arms and tries to grab you. God! That would have been a 20 and an... Wait a minute. No, I rolled a 2, which would have been a critical, and an 80.
Oh, wow.
Wait, is that right? Did I roll the wrong
fucking
dice?
Don't you have to take the smaller one?
Oh, you know what? Because... I rolled the wrong die. All right, so it's either... I would have failed with an 82. So let's see, just for shits and giggles, what the other roll would have been. Yeah, so basically a 22 and an 82, I failed. So it goes to grab you, Feyruz, and it misses. Back to the top of the next round. Poor Vaughn still shaking and muttering to himself. Feyruz, it is right next to you, and you have your gun out.
And what is Jackson just chilling?
Jackson's in the back. He gave you the gold piece, and then he's fumbling. He's fumbling around for his gun.
Okay.
All right. So it's back up to me now?
Yeah, back up to you.
Okay, I'm going to shoot him point blank again.
Okay, do you want to unload your cartridge?
Yes.
Okay, so now you just roll. It's just 2 regular rolls. No bonuses or penalties.
Okay, so for the first one, 36 under 55.
Okay, and then the second one?
That is a 90.
A 90.
Over 55. So one of them makes it.
One of them makes it. All right, so give me that damage.
And that is 4 again. 4 points of damage.
All right, so the point blank range, you hit its arm, and the arm, again, just flies back. Doesn't seem to be damaging it. 2 shots now to its arm. Doesn't seem to be damaging. Carter goes up, hits its other arm where it meets the chest. It doesn't seem fazed by it. It is just moving forward.
We need fire! We need
Margo,
fire!
Margo, what do you do, Margo?
Okay, I'm just so sorry. I just so slipped. And I'm going to try to do the fire again because we haven't tried that yet.
Okay.
So brawl. Oh, come on. Come on, please. No, definitely not. 95.
Margo's just waving this torch around. Just wildly can't get close enough to it.
My
it does
depth
not...
perception is like off or something. Like I think I'm close enough and I'm not.
It's dark in there.
All right, now.
I got to say that when those gunshots went off, you just hear this wail come from Vaughn like a child. Just like, no. It's like, you're already. And it's like, you're already dead, don't you? We're already dead, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We can always come back.
Jackson is going to step up, and he's going to take a shot.
About damn time.
Jackson's got his gun. He was fumbling for it the first round. He is going to take a shot at this creature. A 5 under whatever his score is here. I mean, I rolled a 5. So that is a hit. And that is going to be 6 points of damage. Perfect. This is what happens. So he fires at the same arm that Feyruz fires at, and the arm detaches from its body and goes flying down the hallway. And it still seems unaffected. And Jackson says, "To say it's immune. It's immune to the damage to its body. We've got to find where it's sensitive and attack that."
Is there a part of it that's blinking every once in a while?
It's Carter's turn.
All right, Carter's going to try to use his machete and cut its head off.
Going straight for the head. Okay, yeah. Give me a brawl.
Yes, that seems to be the best move. I rolled a 9 under 70.
Whoa.
Okay, that is an extreme success. Doesn't matter, didn't try to dodge or fight back. So you hit it. Give me your right. damage.
Oh, bear with me. Sorry, guys. The machete is a 1d8 plus my damage
plus
bonus.
Plus 1d4.
So,
I can sound of that.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
9.
9 points yeah. of damage?
Yeah.
All right. So you slash at its neck right where it meets the head, and you hit it, and you notice that this thing has finally it has finally taken damage, I should say. It looks like it's finally reacting to the damage. So whatever you did to its head is enough to have hurt it. But now we move into a new round, and it's Feyruz's turn.
Okay. I don't want to waste time a turn reloading, so can I drop the gun and either take out my knife or take out the lamp oil?
Yeah, either one. Reloading would take a whole round, so if you want to try and attack this round, you can drop the gun and just pull out a new weapon and swing it.
All right, we need to get some fire going, though. Can I take the lamp oil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to take this turn just to douse it?
Will that take a full turn?
Yeah.
Let's go with a knife.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have a it just says medium knife. So let me roll for
medium knife is probably not 1d8 damage. I think the machete
is 1d4 plus 2 plus your damage bonus.
Great.
Let me pull up roll.
All right. So Carter attacked the head. This did damage to it. It's vulnerable Uh-oh. In its head.
I'm not liking my brawl stats. I did not make it.
Drop the gun, pull out the knife, and just, boom, it like dodges back as it's still reeling from Carter's hit. It is Margo's turn.
Still
Wait,
flailing.
Did the creature go? I think I skipped the creature.
I think the creature didn't go.
I did skip the creature, didn't I? Yeah, I did
I
skip
assumed
it,
it was staggered by my amazing strategy.
I got so excited when Jackson went, so it should have went Jackson, Carter, and the creature, and then right. Feyruz. So it will now go. Same thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, Margo. 3, 4. Here we go. This one's on Margo. Sorry, Margo.
No, you're
now,
not.
Jackson is also nearby.
That is true. Jackson is there. I didn't
Your Honor.
Well, I've already rolled it. All right, so this is going to be a straight-up brawl. No penalty, no bonus die. Here we go. Crack die. Failed. So it misses Good. As well, trying to reach out for Margo. Just, and you see Margo. There's something just crawling around inside of its head. And now it's your turn to act, Margo.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think now, it's the same role for me, whether I try to light it on fire or use my machete, but it comes at me and I see that, like, maggot marble in there rolling around in its head.
Old maggot marble.
I want to try to stab it in the eyes.
Okay. All right, so machete. You just want to go right at its eye sockets.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Brawl. 47 over 30. I'm spending luck to get it down to 30. So that's okay. 17 luck.
17 luck gone. Give me the damage.
1d8. I never know. Okay, this one's an 8. Okay. 8!
Nice.
8 points of damage?
8.
Well. All right, so you stab inside of its eye socket. And the mummy collapses to the floor. However, give me a luck roll.
Okay, but wait, I got a minus 17 first, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All
yes,
right.
you do.
This is fine.
Oh,
so now
man,
it's,
I didn't even think about the implications 35. Of this.
You know what?
Oh, shit.
I don't like you right now.
like a turtle, Levi.
42 over 35.
Oh, so if you hadn't have spent it, you would have succeeded. So here's what happened.
It doesn't matter. Don't you see? It doesn't matter. Even if you die, then you'll just come back. You'll be dead, just like me.
Vaughn's still muttering on the floor. You strike with such precision into the eye socket that you shatter the skull. But because of the failed luck roll, you shatter the skull and you see one of these Karasiri larvae come out and start crawling towards you. It's its action. It crawls onto your face. And not unlike Feyruz in the thing, it's just like making its way towards your mouth. It like flies with lightning speed up your body and it's like trying to get in.
I don't like it.
Oh. It's Jackson's turn, and Jackson is like, he's not trained in combat, he's a writer, and he's just like, I can't do it, I don't know what to do, what should we do? And he looks to you, Carter.
Get a lamp, like last time, get a lamp, whack me in the face.
They're one weakness.
The gold bar.
Carter sees it going towards her mouth, and then he yells at Margo. He's like, "Give me that!" And he like grabs the torch from her hand, and he goes to like hit her in the face with it. He's like, "This is gonna hurt."
Just trying to singe the larva.
He's not trying to burn. I'm just trying to use it as a bludgeoning tool.
Right. Okay.
The burning will just be a fun side effect.
Yeah.
Now, in our first combat, I had given you guys a penalty die to try and attack this, but that's not actually accurate. It's really only get a penalty die for maneuvers when the size difference
right,
is
when I
so
tried to
great.
Grab it, I remember that was a penalty
yeah,
die.
Yeah, that's when you get a penalty die. So for this, just a regular roll, no. See if you can...
I learned my lesson, which is why I'm going to hit Margo in the face with a torch.
Here comes the fumble.
And everybody in this crew will be wearing masks soon.
I rolled an 80. I'm going to spend 10 luck to get it to a 70.
Thank you.
That is a success. All right, give me a D6.
Yes. That's a 6.
Ooh. It had 5 hit points. You singe it, and it crumples up and burns and just falls off of Margo's face.
I'm sorry that had to happen. I had to be awesome.
She's just like, like, hasn't moved since it jumped on her. Had a flaming torch thrown at her face, but everything's fine. And it's just like, okay, all right.
Are you all right?
Thank you so much. Oh, yes.
We're all asking her if she's fine while Vaughn is
still muttering.
Are you going to be okay? Everything's okay.
I don't know. I think I'll be fine, but I don't
of
know.
Course
I'm not
we'll
sure.
Be okay. Everything's fine. Everything's wonderful, don't you see?
Carter's like, Vaughn, thanks, man. Thanks for the help. That was real, real helpful.
No.
Jackson's like, no, something's wrong with him. Something's wrong.
I point my machete at him because I saw him turn last time when he almost shot Nora, and I feel like this looks similar, even though I know game-wise it's not similar.
And Vaughn grabs your blade and like pushes it into his own throat. Like, it's all right.
No.
It's all right, don't
no.
you see? I'll just Feyruz. Come back, just like
that
him.
The same.
Very much already. Just slaps him super hard. Get over yourself, man! And
does
like
that
hands
count as a
him
rest?
A flask
am
of
I, am
whiskey.
I seeing
him?
Is that a full rest? Jackson is like, stop! And he comes over and he like he holds Vaughn. He like gingerly grabs you and embraces you and just like pulls you in tight. And he's like, it's okay. It's okay. Everything's okay. And he looks back at the rest of you and he's like, he needs rest. He's not right. He's been slipping ever since we... Every step we've taken...
Ever since we left.
Ever since we started this adventure.
He's so nurturing and I just slapped him.
We should. And you can see me looking at you like with this really wounded like, why did you... Why?
It's okay. It's okay.
It seems to work all the time, bro.
He looks up. He says, Margo, take 1 point of damage from the larva being on your face.
Really?
Yes.
forgot to do that in the throes of all of this. Shh, it's okay. It's okay.
Ladybird, fly away home.
This is one point of hit point damage. We should... I don't know if we should press forward with him in this state. What do you think? Should we go back to that room with the filthy reed mats? Should we go outside?
I mean... I guess the mats are there for a reason. That's the parlor of this place.
And at least we know that there's only one entrance from there, so we wouldn't be attacked by different... Should something happen, we're not saying it will, Troy.
Right. We'll be nice and buried in the treasure room with no way out. But you're right. We'll see them coming. And I guess this guy's dead weight until we can get his shit together.
Yeah, so when I'm reading about indefinite insanity, and I might be reading the wrong thing here, but I'm going to go with it because it's more fun for where we're at. Basically, you just have this thing that has now affected you that has become like a semi-permanent part of your psyche. So it really couldn't happen to a better person because now you're just going to have to roleplay this underlying insanity sure. that is going to last for... possibly months. And we can decide together what
is there
this
some
is.
Nature of the right now I've just been like, oh yeah, death is it's meaningless.
Yeah, maybe I mean something are. About seeing maybe this no this dead creature rise up. Now you didn't know at the time when you lost your senses that it was being animated by the larva within it. Mm. So you just saw it as the dead rising. And so yeah, there is something like what you were playing, I think, is perfect. The meaninglessness. What is death if you can just rise up again? There is no death.
Fine. Is there...
Jax is still holding you.
Is there any... This is a long shot. But is there any way I could try to persuade Vaughn that things are not so bad? I'm not saying to erase whatever. Obviously, the game is the game. But just in terms of, you know,
here, have some treasure.
Sure,
getting him on his feet. You know what I mean?
Here's like, some cash. Yeah. No, Jackson's holding him, and you come over, and you're like, "Can I talk to him?"
Let me, Jackson. Give me a sec.
All right, Vaughn. Do you remember Carter?
Hey, beautiful boy. Hey, my sweet man.
Of course, Miss. Of course, Dilly asked.
Yeah.
Of course, I remember you.
Great.
I can remember you.
Yeah.
Who could forget?
Yeah, you're doing great. Carter turns to everyone else and winks at him, but he doesn't realize he winked on the other side of his mask. So it just looks like he just turned to everybody and like hard stared them for a second and then turned back. Vaughn, Villiers, listen. Things got real back there, okay? Yes. But you've seen some intense stuff in your life, and guess what? You're still here. You're still with us. You're going to be fine.
Of course.
Okay? Now I'm going to roll these dice now real quick. I'm going to roll persuade. I don't know. Does that work? Does that work against a player?
I like it.
Okay.
See if it's enough to get him going again.
Just get, you know, figure it out. I rolled a 44 under 65.
All right, so something in his words touched you, Vaughn, as you're coming out of this. While you fell into this stupor during the combat and wasn't able to take part, something in his words meant something to you.
Okay. And have we gone back to that little alcove?
Yeah, for sure. Like, while you're regrouping, maybe Jackson took you over there so you could just, like, all talk it out instead of standing in this dark hallway together.
Yes, thank you, Tillinghast. Thank you. Of course.
Yeah.
It's only too shame-making. Having a bit of shock.
Yeah, it's definitely embarrassing for you. But I'm glad that you made me look cool in front of the other three. So I appreciate that. You're still a stand-up guy.
Oh, it's quite cool. Yes, Zangfroid second to none. You look marvelous, Tillinghast, marvelous.
Yeah, you've never looked better.
Gonna be flattery, sir, will get you everywhere.
Yeah, pull up a goblet here and rest your head.
Yes, what?
I think, and I pull out that little chubby statue with the with the ape, and I'm just kind of like, yes. I suppose whoever made this could also come.
He's fine, guys. He seems pretty good.
Oh, God. Margo, what are you doing?
I think that while this is happening, like, she's putting two and two, whatever, together with the whole, like, that thing was dead, but the maggot was animating it. And it's like these maggots that crawl into people and ravage their insides, maybe, but, like, control them like they're puppets. And, like, she's thinking back to the woman and the young girl that they saw at the town they were at that later, like, turned at some point, and it's like maybe they're always infected with a maggot, and then the maggots decide to just make them become the other thing. So, that said, there is a pile of dead bodies that we had to walk through to crawl into all of this, and I think we should light it on fire before we go to bed.
before the worm finds them?
Yeah.
Yes, that is a good idea. But if Mr. Villiers is in his right mind, perhaps we press on the perimeter of this pyramid if it follows what the outline of the building is upstairs. We've almost covered all of it. Surely we'll find what we're looking for, and then we'll burn the bodies and rest and be done with this place.
Oh, okay, yes. If we're not resting now, then let's keep going, but I would strongly suggest we burn everything if we decide to rest, yes.
Yes, that is wise, Miss Sauer. Vaughn, are you all right to still lead the pack?
Well, thanks to kind words of Mr. Tillinghast here, everyone's admirable courage under pressure, and your very quite nurturing attitude, Mr. Hughes. I confess that I am rather abashed at how I've acted, and I assure you I'm feeling much more steady. Shan't break again.
Hearing you call him by his alias, he taps you on the shoulder and looks to Feyruz and says, maybe Feyruz could stand up front and you protect her from behind. Would that be all right, Feyruz? I think you are a crack shot. Maybe give Mr. Villiers a break.
Yeah, I think maybe, and to spare Vaughn's feeling, maybe we all take turns at some point leading on.
That's a great idea. Great
idea. We'll talk about it when we get there, yeah.
Capital. Yes.
And then
all of you have shown yourselves.
And then just behind Vaughn's back, she will, you see Feyruz make hand gestures towards Margot to keep an eye on Vaughn, seeing his behavior has been very questionable.
She gives you a very curt nod. Got you.
Well then, let's press on. And so you continue moving down that corridor, past the now deceased mummy. You see another shaft leading upwards. I'll ping it on the map where you see it. Again, another one of these chimneys, but it's closed, so there's no light coming down. And then the corridor shifts to south and continues south for a while, about halfway down. Yet again, another one of these chutes. And they all match up exactly with the pyramid if you slide over and look at the other map. Then, Feyruz, you turn now back to the east. And as you get to that corner and your torchlight fills the tunnel ahead, you see a pool of some sort.
Oh, no.
It looks like there is a crack in the wall above the pool, about 2 inches wide, and it's running through a recess from the floor of the tunnel up to a piece of the wall where the gold is missing. And the hole is filled with a pool of rancid-looking white substance.
Yeah, did that look like a vomit crack?
That's the puke hole.
It looks like where they vomited was into the middle of the pyramid. This looks like a crack in the wall that is leaking some sort of substance into a pool that has formed in the tunnel, blocking passage further. But above the tunnel is a broken piece of the gold inlay that you assume can only be reached by entering this pool. And we'll see you next week.
Oh, no. No! You have to enter the pool of vomit.
Enter the white moving pool.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself, and see what everybody's talking about when you join The Niche today.